Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. There's room in there. Just look and make sure it's running. Yeah. Amen. No, it's okay. All wired. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come to Kenya to again bring the message of your kingdom. Lord, we know that this word is coming into the hearts. It is not an external thing. It is not one that will be seen with our natural eyes or heard with our natural ears. Nevertheless, Lord, we proclaim your kingdom this day. And we thank you, Lord, for those that you have sent to hear this word, O Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother Tojoki told you this morning that there were going to be changes made. And some of these changes you rejoice at hearing about. When I read in the book of Revelation in chapter 11, verse 15, I believe it was the shout of a mighty angel that said, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God." And I believe you rejoice to hear that, do you not? Amen. It grieves me. It causes me to groan when I see the things that are happening in this world. And I'm thinking of how the Word of God said that Lot was vexed at the filthy lifestyle of the people that he lived with. The grieving of the heart is knowing that destruction is coming. But there is also changes that we are going to have to make to see that kingdom come. If you look at the context of that verse in Revelation chapter 11, that the announcement of the kingdom did not come until after the witnesses had laid their life down. Brother Tojoki invited you to be among the company called the Sons of God. There are many names we can give this company. Many words that describe the same people. We can call them the First Fruit Company. We can call them the Man-Child Company. We might even call them the Bride of Christ. Amen. I say to the sisters, don't you want to be the sons of God? We are not talking about a man-woman thing. And to the men, I say, don't you want to be the bride of Christ? I have spent more than 70 years learning how to be a man. Now I realize I'm going to have to learn how to be a bride. Some of these kingdom principles go against our natural man. But we are talking spiritual things, brethren. We are not talking natural things. And when Brother Tajoki described the veil, there is a veil that we must break through if we are going to come into the Holy of Holies. That veil, brethren, is no longer made of the old order of fabric. He also read to you the words of Paul. The veil is upon the mind. And so my mind is going to have to be changed. And you know, brethren, there is another word in the Bible that means the same thing as change. It is the word repent. Because to repent does not mean just to come and be sorry. Many criminals are sorry that they got caught. They're sorry that they have to spend time in prison. But they don't all repent. Hallelujah. Repenting is not just making words. Repenting is turning about and going another way. Likewise, we must turn our mind about. I was just reading a little bit ago where Jesus said to his disciples, many prophets and many kings have desired to see the things that you see. They have desired to hear the things that you hear. But it was not for them. But we are telling you this time, brethren, that there are things to be seen and things to be heard that our fathers did not see and they did not hear. There is a thing that God has left for the end time generation. The people that will stand upon this earth at the day of His coming. Hallelujah. Brethren, I want to be among those people. You know, I believe with all my heart, brethren, that there are changes coming very soon, that are going to shake you to the very core of your being. The word that we are bringing is a word to prepare you. Life is not going to go on as it has been. The rules are going to be changed. The word of God says that I will give authority to my witnesses. Now we are talking not about two individuals. When I first heard this word about these witnesses, and that's not what I'm going to preach about today, but in my natural mind, as a young man, I said, oh, this is Elijah and this one is Moses. And I will say to you, yes, Elijah must come. But he's not going to come as an old man. He's going to come as an Elijah company. And we are going to be, if you will, a two witness company. The Spirit and the Word. The Spirit and the Word will not die. The Spirit and the Word cannot be overcome by the devil. They are going to stand upon the earth to the very end in a people. In a people who will lay their life down. Look at the same word in the very next chapter, Revelation chapter 12. It says, the word came, now is the power, now is the strength, now is the kingdom, now is salvation. So our salvation, brethren, is coming to its fullness. I do not shock you, I hope, to tell you that I am saved. That I am being saved. And there is a salvation to be revealed at the end. Come on, I'm quoting the Bible. We're not having a problem with that, are we? Amen. You know, the Lord showed me when I'm sitting over here a few minutes ago, the word that you are hearing this week, you are going to be making decisions. You are going to decide where you're going to be. You are going to decide which house you want to be in. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not going to go long on this, but I want to tell you a little dream that my wife had a year and a half ago. A very short dream. She saw two houses. And they both looked alike. One house on the right, one house on the left. She was not allowed to see the inside of the house, only the outside. But in the spirit, she knew that the house on her right was the new house. The house on the left was the old house. But they both looked good. There was a giant bulldozer sitting between the two houses. The engine was running. And one word from the Lord came to her in this dream. The word was, choose. And she knew that whichever house she chose, the other would be destroyed. If you want the old house, come out. We're talking about the same thing the brother talked about this morning. Old order, old house. Old way of religion, old denomination. You can have the old house. But the door will be closed for you to come to the new house. I didn't say you'd lose your place in heaven. That's not what I'm saying. But you would not be able to enter in to the things that God has for His sons in these last days. If you choose the new house, the old house will no longer be available to you. What does that sound like? Doesn't that sound like being sealed? Where are we sealed? We're sealed in the mind. In other words, we have come to a time and a season where we are making irrevocable changes and decisions. Now I want to ask the question, hallelujah, what is the kingdom of God? Because we're going to have to choose the kingdom of God. We live in a land that is becoming very tumultuous in its politics. You live in a land of tumult in your politics as well. Many of my friends that live in America are very sad to see what is becoming to that, shall I say, old nation called America. Can I tell you something? And I'll tell you the thing that I said 20 years ago. When I saw the kingdom of God, I said, I am not an American. And I will speak to you as if you are not Kenyans. I will speak to you as kingdom people. If I could have a passport that said Kingdom of God, I would get it. My passport is still old order. But when the day comes that I can change, I'm going to get a new one. And I don't think it'll be one I will carry in my pocket. Hallelujah. Brethren, I am telling you, the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Now, in Matthew, there are two different places where Jesus sent them out. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, He sent the 12 out. And in verse 7, He said, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, it means the same thing. Because when we say the word heaven, we are talking about a spiritual word. You know, brethren, heaven is not a natural place. I'm sure you've come to understand this, haven't you? You've come to understand that heaven is a spiritual place. I've heard people talk that have said they died and they went somewhere. I I don't know where they went. It does, some of their descriptions is not my heaven. I remember I said one time, heaven is not made of the kind of gold that your ring is made out of. I'm not going to walk on that old stuff. I'm going to walk on the nature of God. See, that's what the gold is. Not everybody understands this. When I said this 20 years ago, a sister came up front when I finished speaking. I had a podium. She put her hand down on the podium. She said, "You have destroyed my heaven. You tell me there's no heaven." I said, "No, you didn't hear me. I said heaven is not a natural place. It is a spiritual place. It is better than the kind of gold that makes your ring." Do you hear what I'm saying? Not everybody can eat this meat. Do you have ears to hear? Do you have eyes to see? Then when you go to the 10th chapter of Luke, let me turn there. Jesus sent the 70 out. And he said, "I give you power." That means I give you authority. Amen.
Amen.
In Matthew, or in Revelation chapter 11, where he's talking about the two witnesses, he says, "And I will give power." Amen. And that word is authority. Maybe your Bible says the right thing there. I don't know. Maybe somebody can tell me. Does your Bible say, "I will give authority"? Amen. You know, brethren, I don't have all the authority that I need. I went through the same thing that Brother Tajoki went through. I came those same steps. I got salvation. I got baptism. I got the Word of God. Then one day I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I wanted more. Finally, God set me free of the evangelical church I was going. He had my job come to an end. Now, when you're a hospital administrator, there isn't a hospital in every village. There's not a hospital in every village. So I had to move a long ways away. And that got me out of the church. So I went to a Pentecostal church. Amen. I said, "Praise God. Now I can go to a church that believes in the things of the Spirit." I went 3 Sundays. First Sunday, the pastor prophesied. I thought, this is good. Second Sunday, the pastor prophesied again. Third Sunday, I had the prophecy memorized. Yay, my people, the Lord doth love thee. You know, I could do it. And I said to myself, but I'm in trouble in my life. I need a real word of prophecy. So I went up to the pastor. I said, brother, I hear you prophesy. Yes, yes, yes. I said, do you ever prophesy something to somebody? A word to somebody? He said, oh no, 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 no. I said, well, why not? He said, oh, it's been abused, it's been misused. Can't do that. I said to myself, goodbye. I wanted the real thing. I spent more years searching. I tried the faith people. Yeah, I met Kenneth Hagin. I heard Kenneth Copeland. I loved Oral Roberts. I went through it all. After a while, the thing on television began to get to be a circus. And then a man of God came. You don't mind my telling you this story, do you? It was a most unusual way that God did a miraculous thing to get me to meet this man. I was with my wife in way up in the mountains. I had to go to a seminar for my job. And after the seminar in the evening, we're driving in the car. And she said, turn up this little road. Well, I knew she was a sister that had a gift. So I knew that I should obey what she said. I turned up that road. And I began to recognize an old hospital that had been closed for many years. Then I saw the name on a building at the end of that little drive. And I said, oh, this is brother so-and-so's place. Then, as we're turning, a man walked out of a building, and he walked toward the car. And I said, there's the brother now. So I got out of the car and I greeted him. I didn't know him very well. He said, Brother Mark, we're going to have a conference up here in about a month. He named four speakers. And he named Brother Campbell. He named Brother Campbell. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, that's the man I want you to meet. So I said to my wife, we need to come. This is God that showed you to turn up this road. So I went to the meeting, and we decided to stay in a tent. And it rained. And I was borrowing my brother's tent. And the tent leaked. Now, the sisters can understand what this is like. Water is dripping on everything. And she woke up in the middle of the night crying. I want to go home. I said, no, God sent us here. We got in the meeting, and the brother had ministers sit in special seats, like here. He had a whole three or four rows of them. And I began to ask the local people, I said, which one up there is Brother Campbell? And they said, well, he's not that one, he's not that one, he's not that one. Finally, somebody said, well, I don't think he's here. And I'm thinking, but that's why I came. Well, they started their program. They had everything planned. You know, 9 o'clock this, 2 o'clock this, next day this, next speaker that. You know, they had it all lined out. In the back of the room stood a man up with a very loud voice. He said, thus saith the Lord, this whole assembly must repent. You have bound up the Spirit of God. You must give the Spirit of God liberty to move. Somebody whispered to me, that's Brother Campbell. I said, that's the man I want to meet. A year later, God sent me down to the city. They told me they wanted me to be the pastor. I didn't know any better. I said, okay, you can call me that. I just felt a little uncomfortable about it. Then I called Brother Campbell. I said, Brother Campbell, we have a little church in the city. Could you come and minister? He said, I'll pray about it. I said, oh no, that means he's not going to come. But he did come. And he preached the kingdom of God. And he preached God's order in ministry. He began to open my eyes to spiritual things. The Spirit of God began to open my eyes. And I could see it. I could see it for about another week after he left. Then I went back into my old natural thinking again. 6 months later, he came back. And again, I could see the kingdom of God. Now, I could see it for 2 weeks after he left. There was a third time. Finally, I got down on my face before God. I said, God, I have got to have this thing. If you want me to be a teacher of the Word of God, I have got to understand it. I I have got to understand what you meant on a deeper level. And I began to travail before God. You know, brethren, there is a price to be paid. In Matthew 13, I believe it is, Jesus gave parables of the kingdom of God. Amen. And I remember one of them was, the kingdom of God is like a treasure that is buried in the field. And when a man finds the treasure, he gives everything he has to buy the field so that he might possess the treasure. Hallelujah. So, if you want the treasure, you've got to lay your life down. Hallelujah. There are many other kingdoms you can pursue. Did you know that? I had other kingdoms in me. I had kingdoms of my career. I'm going to climb the ladder. I'm going to get to the top. I'm going to have the biggest hospital. I'm going to be the boss. You know? And then there's the kingdom of politics. You know, I've never been bothered by that one. But it does bother some people. You know what? You can take over the government. You can get Christians here in this and Christians in that. You know what? You're not going to have the kingdom of God.
That's right.
It'll just be another kingdom of politics. You know, I have observed what happens to politicians. They get corrupt. I think they all do. No, we don't want all those kingdoms, do we? Oh, did I mention the kingdom of religion? That one sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You know what? I don't want that one either. Now, here's what Jesus said to the 70. He said, I give you power, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 19 of chapter 10, Luke. Now when you go back to the instructions that he is giving them, he says that if that city does not want to hear the word that you bring, he says you are to go in and preach to them that the kingdom of God has come. Is come nigh. He said if they don't want to hear it, wipe off the dust of your feet and go somewhere else. Now listen to this in verse 11. The last half. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. In other words, it doesn't matter whether they wanted to hear it or whether they didn't want to hear it. Notwithstanding, it's still coming. You can be part of it, or you could reject it. Now the religious leaders of his time rejected it. They missed the coming of Jesus Christ. You think it's possible that we might miss the coming of Christ? No, I know every eye will see, I know that. But there's also a coming where it says he will come suddenly to his temple. And it doesn't say anything about angels shouting and trumpets blaring. It says something about coming like a thief in the night. A thief doesn't shout and sound trumpets. I'm just telling you, brother, we've got two descriptions here. We need to reconcile these things. I'm not giving you all the answers. I'm just giving you some questions to think about. But where did Malachi say he's coming? To his what? Suddenly? To his temple. Now you're putting it together what Chijoki said this morning. Coming to his temple? A building like this? Oh, there he comes in the back door. No. No. That old temple has passed away, hasn't it? You know, I really believe that God sent the Romans in to destroy it. They'd be worshiping that thing. Just a pile of stones. No, he's coming to a living temple. This is the kingdom of God. It says in Matthew, I think it's in Matthew, Luke 17. Yeah, while we're in Luke, let's just turn back to chapter 17. He said here, and when, in verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, you know, well, we've got to translate that into our modern language here. You don't have Pharisees in Kenya here, do you? But we have seminaries, don't we? Where people get doctoral degrees and theological things. So these are the people that didn't understand the kingdom of God. They understood the kingdom of religion pretty good. And they knew that when Jesus came bringing this new order, they knew that their old order was in trouble. And they didn't want to change. And they didn't want to repent. So you see, this is the basis of their question to him. So show us when this kingdom will come. Now, I don't know where these men have been. We're already into the 17th chapter of Luke, and we're probably about the last week of Jesus' life. They had seen the signs, they had seen the miracles, but they had a veil. They argued with the man that was born blind. They were the blind. So Jesus answered the question. He said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." The kingdom of God is not something you're going to see. Now let me give you two examples. Very shortly after I went down to the city, I was still quite young. An older lady came into our fellowship. And we were renting a room in a hotel. She came up to me and she said, "Brother Mark, we need to own our own building." I said, "Well, we're getting a pretty good deal here from the hotel." "No, no. We need our own." I said, "Why?" She said, "So people can see who we are. And they will know who we are. In other words, we can put a sign on our building." So I went to the Lord about it. I said, "Well, Lord, what do you think about this? Would that be a good idea for us to find a building?" And you know what the Lord spoke to my heart? He said, "I will not give you a building until the people know that the building is not a church." Until they learn that the people are the church. Guess what I started preaching? I started preaching, "Brethren, we are the church. We are the body of Christ." And one day we got a building. Oh, much smaller than this. And we still have it. Because we're not a big crowd. You see, the message I preach is not very popular. And the Lord also showed me when I came here, what is happening here in Kenya will not happen in America. The leaders will not get together. Not on this word. They'll get together for something that is not God. They'll get together for a man on television that is doing things that is not God. We had a man in Florida a few years ago. No, I don't mean we. I mean there was a man in Florida. America had a man. He had tattoos on his arm and on his neck. He wore a jacket like he came off of a motorcycle. I was in Ireland with my wife. And some of the Irish brethren came and they said, "Have you seen this man on television?" I said, "Sister, we don't have a television. I don't want a television." Amen. Waste of time. So she went over and she turned on what was called the God Channel. I never heard of a God Channel. So I watched this man and he, bam, knocks people down. She said, "What do you think?" I said, "Let me think about it." I suppose God could save a fellow like that and, you know, and make him a preacher. But they wanted an answer. I got home and I found out the people in New York are seeing the same thing. And you know what the American Christians were saying? "This is the mighty prophet that is to come. This is the one that is going to bring in the kingdom of God." They were getting on buses in New York and going 2,000 miles almost to see this thing. Whole church is going. I got on the internet and I found out the truth about this man. Less than a month, the man fell. Why am I telling you this? Because this is exactly what Jesus is saying here in the 17th chapter of Luke. It is possible to happen here in Kenya as well, if it hasn't already. It hasn't already, yes. He said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." In other words, if you're looking for a big television personality, you know, no, that's not what it's going to be. Come, did you not read the descriptions of Jesus? Wasn't it Isaiah that said he will not cry out? In other words, he isn't going to be a shouter and a big actor. You know, burning flax, how does it say, he will not quench? A bruised reed he will not break? A bruised stick? The kingdom does not come with this kind of observation. Hallelujah. He says, "Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Lo, it's in Florida. Lo, it's in Toronto. I'll make it African. Lo, it's in Lagos. The big man is in Lagos. Lo, there's one in Mombasa. Or wherever. Come now. Are the Christians not reading what Jesus said? They are saying, lo here and lo there. But he said, the kingdom is in here. The kingdom is in my soul. It is in my soul that I need to repent so that the kingdom can come in its fullness. I need to change some of my bad attitudes. I need God to change my temperament. If I'm not treating my wife and my children like a godly elder, I need to change. You did notice I said elder. Amen. I don't let people call me pastor. I don't let them call me elder. I don't let them call me elder. I have no other name. If you want, you can say brother. My mother only named me Mark. And I'm not offended if you call me that. But more on that later. I said more on this later. Not today. More on this subject later. There, amen. Alright, let's stick with this. And he said to his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. In other words, the church, Jesus' church, is really going to miss him. They will say, oh, if only our Jesus were here among us. And because we will miss him, we will look for something else that has the anointing. Didn't Chijoki? No, it was Brother Paul, I believe, said the word anointing and the word Christ are basically the same word. So, in verse 23, and they shall say unto you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. Go not after them, nor follow them. Do I have a few more minutes? I don't know. Do you have a set time to quit? Or okay. Let me go to one more passage. I want to go to Matthew chapter 20. By the way, when we're talking about politics, go again to the Bible. Jesus before Pilate. And Pilate asked him a straight out question. Are you the king of the Jews? And what was Jesus' answer? My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. Are the Christians reading this? His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. You look at me. Can you see the kingdom of God in me? Well, you can see my smile on my face. But you know, they teach actors to do that too. No, you can't see the kingdom because it's spiritual. Now, you sit in my house and live with me for a few weeks, then you might begin to see the kingdom. You'll see how I live. You'll see how I deal with my wife. Amen. You'll see how I deal with my troubles. You'll see how I respond to embarrassing things that my children do. You will see if I walk before the sheep as an example. In my action, in my fruit, because of what is in me, then you will be able to see the kingdom of God. Now I want to finish with this story in Matthew 20, where Jesus' disciples and their mother, who have been listening to Jesus for 3.5 years, did not understand the kingdom of God. You say, well, if only I could have walked with Jesus, my eyes would have been opened, I would have seen all this. No, not without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't have. We would have been just as blind as Peter in the garden when the soldiers come to arrest him. 1 Peter and all these soldiers, and he thinks he can take them on with his knife. No, Peter, put it away. But Peter saw when they came to arrest him, and he said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And they all fell over. Do you see the authority of the word I am? Do you see the power of the word of God? Now this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, I will give authority to my 2 witnesses. I will give authority of something that will come of the mouth. And the kingdoms of this world are going to be turned into the kingdoms of our God. Having seen this, He still didn't understand. So, James and John with their mother, they come to Jesus. Well, in your kingdom, can we put John here and James here? Right and left. Right and left. Did they understand? Christians still don't understand. Haven't you heard them talk about when we get the kingdom in our country, we're going to make this brother president. This one's going to be governor of my state. Maybe I can be secretary of some department. And this is the thinking of the disciples. They wanted him down there where Pilate was sitting. Kick the Romans out of town. Sit on the throne. We're all going to sit. We're going to be judges. They didn't understand how we are going to rule and reign. We probably still don't understand. Do we? Have you tried to imagine how this is going to work? Suppose I were to say we're going to rule in righteousness. Now you're going to have to think a long time on that. How is righteousness going to take over the world? Because the world is going to be run in righteousness. Amen? And you know what? It's going to have to start here. Amen? Well, okay. Let's move along here. He said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of my cup and be baptized with my baptism? Sure we are. Bring it on. What was his cup? Come now, where did we see his cup? In the garden. What was the cup? Suffering. He was laying his life down. He had the power to take it or the power to lay it. When you think of all this authority that you'd like to have, come now, you've thought about it. You've thought about all the wonderful things you'd like to do if you had all that authority. Have you thought about the power of restraint that Jesus used? Have you thought of how he restrained that inner man that was not born after Adam? I'm so glad that we don't have all that authority yet. Oh, the mess that we would make. And are you ready for my baptism? What did John the Baptist say about that baptism? He said, I'm baptizing you with water. But he will baptize you with what? Fire. Now you like the Holy Spirit baptism, didn't you? Are you going to like the fire baptism? Now remember, a baptism is not just a little sprinkling. A baptism is going all the way in. I'm telling you, brethren, the fire is coming. Gird up your loins. I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to come back. I see the signs. It's very near. No, he said, you will indeed drink my cup. You will indeed be baptized with my baptism. And you know they were. And we will be too. If you want this. You still want to be sons of God?
Yes.
Amen. All right, one more thing. Now he said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. That is verse 25 and verse 26 of Matthew 20. Now, we have to use spiritual understanding again. The Bible is a spiritual book. The word Gentiles does not just mean people who are not of the natural seed of Abraham. Gentiles mean the people of the world. What does he say? The people of the world exercise dominion over their people. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. So here you have, I can't make a picture, I'll make it with my hands here. Here you have all the people. And above them you have princes. But above the princes you have the great ones. What do you have? You have a pyramid structure. Now this works good in the world. If you're going to have a military, you have the top general, or whoever, other minor officers, and all the little soldiers. Some of you probably work for a big corporation. Who's the brother that said he works for the oil company? Oh, yes. Exxon Mobil. Yeah, I'm sure it's a pyramid. They have a big chief executive up at the top. His brother's an engineer. Are you right up near the top, brother? Are you one of the top men? No, you're quite a ways down the line, aren't you? So, yeah, it works good for Exxon Mobil Company. How about church? No. Jesus said no. It shall not be so among you. Does that get your curiosity a little bit? God has an order. But it's not that order. Amen. It's not man taking dominion over other people. Now, God's church has leadership. His church has servants. His church has elders who oversee. But it doesn't have bosses. Anyway, we'll get into more of that later. If you're not afraid to come back. No, come now. God isn't doing away with His servants. He just wants us to put it in the right order. And it can be done. God bless you.
Amen.
Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Hii maneno